find personal peace in their lives. And so let me ask you on this morning, those of you who are here and those who may be listening by way of radio, have you experienced the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life? Well, if not, that same Jesus invite all who will to come to him by faith and find not only peace in this life, but also eternal deliverance from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, damnation, and eternal separation from God. But now you need to make this choice while you live, because there is no salvation after death. For the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, for it's appointed unto men once to die, and after come the judgment. And moreover, no one knows the day or the hour that Jesus will come back. For the Bible said, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father know the day when this will occur. But when he returns, I need to tell us that he's not coming back to save anybody, but he's coming back for those who are already saved. In other words, he's coming back for his church. And even more, nobody in here know the day that you will die. And so it would be wise to receive, yes, Lord, the Lord Jesus right now while you have a chance. Because tomorrow or the next hour isn't promised to anybody. Meaning if death claims you, or even if Jesus returns, the day is going to be too late. Just think about it for a moment. If you receive him this morning, what a gift that would be to the Lord. And guess what? He'll give you a gift that will last from now throughout all eternity. For the Bible says in John 10:28-30, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, or they shall never be lost, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He said, my Father who has given them to me, he's greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. And that's why I say folks should praise God not only at Christmas.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to worry.
Got the gospel. Transmitting
all
day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
give the Lord a hand of praise if you know He's awesome. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you now for this privilege of hearing your word. Prepare our hearts and our minds and our spirit that we might be in tune to what you have to say, that your spirit will have free course in this place and every believer's heart to share and to show us through scripture what you desire us to know. And dear God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. And I want to commence reading at verse 15. Luke, chapter 4, verse 15. Recorded are these words. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, know your anointing. Know your anointing. If you don't mind helping me preach this, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's important that you know your anointing. Now, if you believe that, give God some praise. Know your anointing. May I submit to you, many of us fail and we fall. We are frustrated and fractured because we're trying to flow in an area we've not been anointed to be in. It's your desire to be in this place or in that place. It may be your desire to do this and to do that. But if God has not equipped you to be in this area of ministry or that area of ministry or this place of ministry, then it's important that you recognize you will never ever have the power and or the ability to flow in ministry work the way that you and more especially God desires you to flow. Now, one of the things that you'll note, Luke gives the narrative here. Jesus has just been baptized. He has been filled with a measureless amount of the power of the Holy Ghost. And Luke gives the account of this. And when he finishes up in these first 14 verses, verse 15 says, when he had gone down to Galilee, he began to teach in their synagogue, being glorified, being celebrated, being honored of all. And the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth. Now, the place switches. It changes. Listen, he came to Nazareth where he had been what?
Brought up.
And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for what purpose? See, some folks stand up, but it ain't to do what God wanted them to do. Some folk want to be seen, but they're not seen doing what God has given them the ability to do. He stood up as his custom was, whether it was in the synagogue in Galilee, whether it's in Nazareth or wherever it was. When he stood up and to participate in the service, he stood up for a particular purpose. And it is revealed here that it was to read. Now, it was a strange custom to us, perhaps, you know, but when visitors came in, etc., they would give them the honor of reading the scripture, etc., etc., especially if they were a noted religious leader. And so Jesus was known because he had gone back home. And so they gave him the honor of reading the text that morning, what it would be. And so one of the things that I want us to recognize, first of all, that if you are going to know your anointing, you're going to need to know where, number one, your anointing works. Where your anointing works. Because, first of all, you're going to realize that though you are anointed, where God may have called you to do what he has anointed you to do may not be that place. And so what you've got to know is that if your anointing is for a specific place, knowing where it is, then don't be upset, don't be frustrated if you don't get the same results over there that you get over here. Because where is a part of knowing you're anointed? Where are you to do what you're anointed to do? Notice this now, because it's in scripture. He was doing what he does under this anointing, and he goes back to his hometown. Now, there's a reason for that, because he has to present this word to his own people. He has to take this word to the lost sheep of Israel. And so he has to give them an opportunity to receive or to reject. So he goes there. But listen, he knows his anointing there. And he knows what he's going to be able to do there, where he again is going, but it has a relevance in the fact that he knows his anointing, and you're going to see in a few scriptures later that he makes that very clear. He knows that because he starts to tell him a prophet is without honor in his own country. And he begins to make real why he's there, that he's not there to necessarily do those things, though he is anointed to do them, because they won't allow him to do it because of their unbelief. But he knows there is no shortness in him. You see, so if you go to a place, and see, I've learned this too sometime, just because folk call you to come to a place don't mean you've been anointed to go to that place. Just because you can teach don't mean you can teach with effectiveness everywhere. Because you got to understand your anointing is always with the purpose of God receiving the glory and the people the good. But there are times when flesh and carnality gets in the picture, and there are purposes that may not necessarily be godly purposes that people call you in. It may be just to fill a room. Or wherever he come, we know the crowd's going to come. It may be to make this, you know, a money raiser, a fundraiser, for whatever the reason. If it's not where God has anointed you to be, it's not going to be effective there. So he goes on and he goes back home where he was brought up. And knowing that and going through all of these symptoms that he's going to suffer with his own people, one of the, I guess, joys and peace of mind that he had was in knowing that his anointing was operative and was real and powerful in spite of the place that he was in. That'll save you sometime, because sometimes you get up there and you wonder, well, Lord, have I lost my anointing? Because you get up there, man, and you're trying to give it everything you got, and them folk looking at you like, what? Like, what is he talking about? When are you going to get to the fun part? When are you going to hoop? All the rest of that, and nothing is moving, nothing is shaking. And you begin to doubt yourself. but you got to know where your anointing works at. But look again at what the Bible says. In verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. Now, they give him, they say the book here, but it was a scroll. And in Jesus' time, the word was written on scrolls. And so he took the scroll and he opened up the scroll. And he looked up, because it's usually written both front and back. And he found the place, the Bible says. And he found, they gave it to him, the book of Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Here it is, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, he's going to share with you six things that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do. All right? He starts off and he says, because he had anointed, here's that word again, me to preach the gospel to who?
To the poor.
All right. So first of all, he is anointed. He's consecrated. He has been, listen at this, anointed for his messianic office, meaning that his anointing now as the Messiah is in full effect and full force. He's talking about himself. He's talking about what Isaiah had prophesied, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. Well, Jesus is going to make clear to them that Isaiah was talking about him. And so because Jesus knows who Isaiah was talking about, as he's reading this, he's giving them an open understanding of what his messianic anointing is for. So notice again, he goes on and he says, he had anointed me, again, to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, his messianic title, being the Messiah, gives him this range of ministry work to operate in. So not only must you know where your anointing must be operative, but you must know what your anointing includes.
Amen.
Because if I'm anointed to do this, I may not be anointed to do that.
Yes.
Just because I'm anointed to teach don't mean I'm anointed to heal.
Yes.
If I'm anointed to heal, it doesn't mean I'm anointed to preach. If I'm anointed to deliver, it may not necessarily mean I'm anointed to be a missionary or an evangelist.
Yeah.
See, I've got to know what I am anointed to do.
Yeah.
And see, you can let people push you into areas and arenas where your anointing does not cover. Man, you're on fire when you're walking and flowing in your anointing, and people just, ooh, I bet you got the anointing of healing on you. I could just see it. I could just feel it. I just, woo, don't you have that anointing? No. Well, here's now, look, Jesus is telling them, he's already been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in the baptism. After that has come through and finished, he received that power. He's walking in now. He could not do any of this until he had been anointed to do this. So now that he has been anointed to do that, he is declaring what it is he's been anointed to do. And one of the things that you're going to know is when you know what you've been called to do, it makes it a whole lot easier to do it. See, nothing is worse to say, I've been called. Well, what you been called for? I don't know. Okay, wait a minute. You got a call, yeah. And you know you're called, yeah. But you don't know what you're called for. Well, Not really. Well, let me suggest to you that you didn't really get the call. Not from the source that it ought to have come from. Because see, what you're going to understand here is that not only must you know where your anointing is supposed to be operating in, and not only must you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you're also going to know when you're supposed to be doing it. See, even though Jesus knew from 12 years old that he must be about his Father's business, he couldn't do nothing until the time of that time had come. Don't let nobody force you and rush you. Yes, you might be called to do this or to do that, but if your time has not yet come. Jesus knew, listen, that his time had not come until now. You got to know it. Just because you got the call. Jeremiah got the call. He was a child. God told him, I knew you before you were ever even formed in your mother's womb. I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. But he didn't come right away with starting Jeremiah in that ministry. And the things he had promised that he would do and say through Jeremiah had taken so long, Jeremiah began to wonder, had he really been anointed to do these things? And he decided, you know what, I tell you what, I'm going to just give it up. Because I'm not seeing the results I think I ought to see. Well, you won't see them if you go ahead of your time. You won't see them if you're trying to do them where you've not been called to do them at. You won't see them if you don't do what it is you've been anointed to do. And so you got to understand that the devil, yes, may know you're called. But if he can get you to operate out of season, ahead of your time, then he knows you're not going to be successful. Because the calling precedes the anointing. The anointing shows up when the season for that anointing is to flow. And so you might have been called to be this or to be that, but if things are not happening now, don't become discouraged. It's not your season.
That's right.
It's not time for that anointing to go forth, for you to go forth in what you're anointed to do.
Yeah.
Don't mean you're not what you're called to be.
Yeah.
It just means it's not time for you to do
right. And
to be what you've been called and anointed to be. And so look again, I want you to see how Jesus is telling them all of these different things, and he's making it clear. Let me go back through it again. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here again, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20 says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Now listen to this. Now, as he sat down, the Bible says, and all eyes were focused, were fashioned, were locked on him. Why were they fastened on him? Because he had just spoken a word, listen, that was rich, real, and relevant. It was a word that they heard that stirred them up. It wasn't just somebody reading the scripture. But here was somebody who had an anointing on his life reading the scripture that was talking about his life. Listen, when you're talking about what God is talking about, that makes a difference than what you're just reading words that are on a page. And Jesus is reading this, and the Bible says, listen at this, and he began to say unto them, this day. Somebody say today.
Today.
He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? Now listen at this. Some of them clearly missed what he said. He said, but the reason why you are feeling like you're feeling, the way you're looking at me like you're looking at me, is because I'm telling you I was talking about me in these scriptures. I was talking about me because Isaiah was talking about me. And so I need you to know that the reality of what he was talking about has come to pass today. In other words, I am anointing, and that anointing starts today. And what you have heard me declare unto you will be done in me. And you are looking at what you've been looking for. I am the Messiah. I am him. I am he. I am the one. And so I want you to see this, because what's important is how they miss again that Jesus knows where this anointing is going to operate. He knows what he's going to do in this anointing, and he knows when he's going to do it. He told them today is going to start the anointing. The anointing. He's been anointed to do these six things, and it begins today. But he didn't necessarily say it begins here today. He says, I've been unleashed today. Now, it may take a few days before I get to do what I've been unleashed to do, but I want you to know the ceremony, the kickoff, the grand opening is today. And listen, he brought him back home to have the grand opening. The Spirit of the Lord led him back home where his ministry would be announced that he was the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord led him back home to declare in the ears of the people who supposedly knew him to declare he was the Messiah, and his anointing started that day. Look again at what the Bible says, verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? My, listen at those gracious words. Is this little Jesus? Oh, man, listen at how he speaks. Now, they didn't hear him declare he was the Messiah. They referenced his past and their knowledge of him as a boy. Isn't this, listen at those gracious words. But isn't this, I hear what he said, but isn't this, see that was an indication right there that, and I think this is a helpful holy hint to folk who don't understand that today, when folk don't understand your anointing and understand what God has called you from and what God has called you to, and you don't talk like you used to talk, and now your whole speech has changed, and they say, but isn't that Pookie's daughter? Wasn't that Bubba's son? How can he talk like that? Because they didn't hear what he was saying. He's making clear, I am the Messiah. And they say, he's Joseph's son. Listen at this. I want you to see this. Verse 23 says, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Now he's saying to his own people, because the record is clear. He went to his own, but what happened? His own received him not. So when are they going to ask this proverb? When is this going to be the words that they say? He's telling them at the beginning of his ministry that before the end of his ministry, they're going to say physician. Now, This is going to be a smart aleck attempt to say you declared all that stuff you were going to do.